Focus on the Family is next. And don't forget, you can always connect with us on Facebook.
And as a child, I just frozen right there. I didn't run. I didn't know why. It's a child. Then I saw four bombs landing. And I heard the noise, boop, 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 boop. And suddenly, the fire everywhere around me.
That's Kim Phuc Phan-Thi, and she is with us again on Focus on the Family to share more from her amazing story. Your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly, and I'm John Fuller.
John, yesterday Kim powerfully shared what it was like as a 9-year-old girl in 1972 when the Vietnam War came to her village and her body was burned by napalm. As we mentioned, people will know her as the Napalm Girl, the central figure on that iconic Pulitzer Prize-winning photo, The Terror of War was the title. It portrays a young girl running naked down the road, her skin on fire. And today, you're going to hear the rest and the best, I believe, part of Kim's story. And that is the hope and the peace she found in God and how God has given her the strength to forgive her enemies. Kim, it is a privilege to have you back here at Focus on the Family. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you for having me again.
Kim, last time we left off with you sharing about the physical pain and treatment you received following the napalm bombs. The weeks go by, the months go by, the years begin to go by. You're seen as an icon. That photo changed the attitude of so many people about the war around the world and here in the United States about what is happening there. The North Vietnamese conquer Saigon. They take the country. The U.S. pulls out. Describe your country at that point. Who are you, your family? You're now living under a communist regime. They decide to use you as a war hero figure. What was that like to be that little girl, and how old were you at this point?
Wow. 1972, I got burned, but the Vietnam War continued until 1975.
Yeah.
Even though when I came back to home, to my village, we still dealing with a lot of war.
Yeah.
Until the last one in April when the war ending. But before the ending the war, we just faces a really big war.
Yeah.
And it was so scary.
Yeah.
Then the war ending is a very difficult. We just survive every day. We lost everything.
Yeah, the whole family fortune was gone.
Like I can describe to you, we were from riches to ashes.
Now you are being used by the communist government.
Right.
And how old are you at this point when they start to...
About 10 years later, from 1972 to 1982, so the Vietnamese government discovered I was that little girl in the famous picture. So they, they discovered me. The beginning, I was so happy because suddenly I was pay attention from the government. And
sure. It felt good that somebody cared about
exactly.
you. They weren't afraid of you and your scars. They wanted to embrace you because of your scars.
Yes.
I can understand
exactly.
that.
Exactly. But then, unfortunately, at the same time, I got into my medicine school. Then
and that's something you wanted to be, was a doctor.
Exactly.
Completely natural after
exactly.
doctors had helped you in so many ways.
That is my big dream.
Yeah.
And
what happened to that dream?
I lost my dream.
How?
Because as soon as the Vietnamese government, they found me and they took me away from my school. They used me for their propaganda. For the reporter, for the interviews. So they interfere in my school. They not allow me to continue with my career. When I couldn't go to school, that was my lowest points in my life. Huh. I just asked, why me? Why me?
Yeah.
And deep down in my heart, I just seeking the answer.
Something spiritual begins to happen. Somebody, did they give you a Bible? How did you obtain a Bible?
This is unusual my journey, that as soon as the government cut short my study, and I just didn't know what I have to do, and I spent my day's time in the library to search all kind of religions, just seeking peace and finding the purpose for my life. And among all the books, I read the New Testament.
It was on the shelves.
Of course, in Vietnamese, yes, I took it. And I read, the more I read, the more question I had. Because totally from my religion, where I raised from. Particularly when I read John 14:6, when Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. I jump, you know.
Because it was in disagreement with your faith that all religions are the way.
Yes.
Yeah. So you
why
thought,
Jesus
were you offended?
Anyone? I just was like, really confused.
Okay. So you had a curiosity about it, though.
Exactly.
Maybe this is right?
Yes.
Interesting.
My religion is right or Jesus is right. I just confused. Mm. And that's why I just get into read and read. But of course, I didn't understand fully. I had a lot of questions.
What did you identify with as you read the New Testament, though? I'm leading that a bit, but it was that suffering of Christ.
Yes. And then I kept reading and reading. And when I still have the question, where are you, God? Are you really exist somewhere? Please help me.
Right.
Yeah. And then,
what
yes,
kind of help were you looking for at that point?
I really need peace and
peace.
Joy, and someone come into my life, take away my burdens.
And that, again, referencing your anger, your bitterness towards so many, it was that unpeacefulness in that context,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So did you pray? What was the next step? You've read the New Testament now. You're feeling drawn toward what's being shared. You're identifying with Christ because he suffered.
Yes.
You suffered. When you think about that, how did that connect for you, though? That Jesus suffered for you and you suffered.
Yes. And then, but at that moment, I just had curiosity. And it's very simple that I really need one friend.
So you prayed for one friend?
Yeah. Whosoever can, I can believe and I can trust and I can share my burden with that friend. And because when you suffer, you need to talk with someone and with hope that they can help you somehow. But I had no friend at all. And I was so isolated. And I say, what happened to me? And then I met a Christian as my brother-in-law's cousin. And I knew he's a Christian. He came to my sister family to visit them. And I was there at that time.
Okay.
And all my questions, I just have a chance to ask him.
Right.
And he tried to explain to me. Then I couldn't believe it.
Right.
I say, no way. That is my religion.
What were these
my
questions
faith.
Like?
Like about Jesus.
Who is Jesus? Is he
Who
really
is
the
Jesus?
Son of God?
And the only one way to go to heaven? That's my question. Because my religion is so many ways. Yeah.
How did he answer the question?
He said, the only one. This is the Bible, is the truth, the word of God. And, you know, the only one Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin. And no one that died and do that for you. He's a God. And so when you believe in him and he take away your sin, and because he rose again after 3 days after he died on the cross, and he's in heaven, he's a living God, he say all of that, but for me, no clue right. at that time.
But it planted a seed.
Yes, and because I couldn't believe that, I didn't believe it. So that's why he say, okay, I really want to invite you to the church to learn more about that. Mm. And I'm so glad I went.
Yes, I bet.
And I went to the church and God answered my prayer when I asked God, are you real? Please help me. Please help me. I really need a friend. And then I met a friend in at the church. And wow, that is just amazing.
Sure.
And so finally, I keep going a few months of that. And I went to church because I have friends and my curiosity. Until Christmas, I heard about the message. It's a real message from the pastor, Ho Hugh Ha, in that church. He asked us, do you know why we celebrate Christmas? And he explained, because of Jesus, baby Jesus born in this world, came to the world, and he died on the cross. He paid for our sin. If everyone open his heart, their heart, to Jesus and accepted him as a personal savior, he will come into their heart. He will bring peace and take away any burdens. At that moment, really that works. Touch my heart. Mm-hmm. I really needed that. I really need that. Peace and someone take away my burden. And I just stood up, go to the altar by myself. I opened my heart and I accept Jesus Christ as my personal savior. That moment, wow. I stopped praying to many gods. I respect them, but I'm not worshiped like before. Mm-hmm. I worship my Heavenly Father through Jesus' name. And it was an amazing turning point for me in Christmas Eve, 1982. That little girl, still alive until now, the circumstances didn't change any one bit from outside. But inside of my heart, wow, I felt full with joy, with peace. I know that he's a present in my life.
Yeah.
He protect me. He gave me everything that I ask him. He gave me faith. He gave me joy. And he healed my heart.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Kim, I would think when you share your story, one of the difficult questions you get, and I'm sure people line up to talk to you, because they suffer in some way.
Yeah.
There's unforgiveness in their heart. Their father hurt them. Their mother hurt them. Somebody hurt them.
Yeah.
And even though they may claim Christ as their savior, they still can't let that go. Do you get that question? Like, Kim, how? Seriously, how do you do that?
Right.
I was not burned in war. I was not wounded. I can't point to a soldier or an airplane. But this person hurt me so bad, I can never forgive him. How do you counsel someone who's gripped with that same anger?
Sincerely, after I got saved, I need the salvation. Then I pray, God help me. And I started to practice. I have some point that I have to do. I always say, as a Christian, I'm not only just pray, but I have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, what I have to do, I stop asking, why me? Instead.
You accepted it.
Yes. I ask God, help me. Help me. And then, number two, I just trust and obey God. because He is able. He can do impossible thing in my life. It seemed to me I couldn't do it because I'm human being. Every time I see my scar, every time I endure with the pain, every time I know that people controlling me, I couldn't forgive them.
Yeah.
I couldn't love them. But then I know that God can do that for me. And I stand in the promises of God by Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me. I will show you great and mighty things that you know it not. I know that God can do impossible thing. He is able. Then the third point that I do, I learn to be positive, not negative, by counting all the blessing upon me. I don't count what I lost, but I count what I have.
Right.
One example. In the moment of that fire, yes, I got burned all over my clothes, my body, but the miracle, the great thing that no one knew, that my feet weren't burned. So I was able to run out of that fire. With that four bombs, I got burned over, but my hands and my face are still beautiful, right? Yes.
Yes.
I count a blessing, for example, like that.
Absolutely.
And then I move on. And with that rule that I make and I have to practice. Okay, and so one picture always in my head, and I can give it to you, that picture.
Yeah.
The picture of the black coffee.
Huh.
You know how black coffee is.
Yes.
And my heart being exactly that.
Just dark.
Dark. Pain, loss, hopelessness. Everything negative. Everything was negative. If I hold that black coffee, hold that heart forever, it never change.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do it. I have to pour that black coffee a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit at a time. Every day. I pour my hate until my cup became empty. So, by grace of God and His mercy, He refilled my cup with light, hope, love, passion, understanding, patience, and forgiveness.
Yeah.
All of that. So, you can see black coffee before and now with pure love.
Pure living water.
Yes. And that is a change. And I have to look at that picture and apply into my daily life every single day.
Yeah.
My enemies list became my prayer list.
Yeah.
And I started to pray for them every single day when I woke up. I pray for my enemies who caused my suffering, even though I don't know their name.
Yeah.
I just list that.
When you look back on all this, I'm sure when you were 9 on that day and you were burning and then in the morgue left to die and then all the 16 surgeries, the recovery, not knowing the Lord yet, but having a heart that wanted to seek the truth. It's amazing now looking back on that, God's journey for you, God's plan for you, how Romans 8:28 is certainly true in your life, that all things have worked for good.
I really want to share my story that let people know God is real, God is good. Whatever happened to you, even like to me, even I didn't know Him yet, but He's always there for you. He help you. If you call upon Him and believe that He's a God,
well,
He died for you, He's be with you, and He will answer you like He did answer me. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter the skin you wear, yellow, red, and white. Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Like Jesus loved me, that little girl who suffered. And like my children, when they're growing up in Canada, they want to love God because they can see God is real in my life.
Kim, when you look at that, the scars that you have along your arm, I'm looking at them right now, and the scars on your back, you have to think about Jesus bearing scars that look very similar.
Yes.
Being beaten by the Romans and flogged and going to the cross. You have to have that connection with Him, that as you share about that with your family and how your testimony, your story, has saved your family members in Christ.
Yes.
God saw that way back then when He hung on the cross. He knew Kim would someday do that, that you would have to carry that burden that you carry so that you and your loved ones would be saved in Christ.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Thank you,
even
Lord.
Though it's a long journey.
Yes.
And a painful one.
It's a painful, but right now, I think that is, as a 9 years old, I became a victim of war. And then later on in my teenager, I became the second victim. And on and on and on. But in Jesus, He gave me victory that I can learn to love my God. I can learn to love my people, and I fulfill the command of Jesus when He say, love God and love one another. That I just do very simple. I love my God and I love my people who are around me, my neighbor, my family, my community, my country, and around the world.
Yes.
And I love them. I pray for them every single day. I pray for America. I pray for Canada. I pray for Jerusalem. I pray that people come to the Lord to know who He is. It's our God is so great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is our world will be the better place to live. And many people can have peace and joy, like that little girl. You know, right now I have a new way for people looking at my picture. When they saw the little girl running up the road, don't see her as who she was, suffering, wounded, crying out for pain, but see her. Just try to see her as she is today.
Mm-hmm.
As a mother, as a grandmother, as a survivor calling out for peace.
Saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
What a wonderful story we've heard of a life that went from devastation to redemption. And as Kim shared, that kind of new life, if you will, is only available because of Jesus Christ. And we trust that you know the Savior, and if not, that you'll look for a Bible church, a Christian pastor, or a friend who seems to be a student of the book and a follower of Jesus. On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team, thanks for listening to Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller.
For a copy of today's broadcast and other helpful resources, visit our website at families.org.au. And remember, Focus on the Family Australia is on Facebook.